this baby hits 88 miles per hour, you're gonna see some serious shit.
Be afraid. Be very afraid.
It's in the hole! It's in the hole!
What is best in life? To crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and to hear the lamentation of the women.
Oh, Captain, my Captain.
88 miles per hour!
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Of course we're serious. It's time for Retro Call.
In a world that's left him behind. In a cult with no mirrors. One middle-aged man seeks to relive the past. This is Retro Cult.
I believe if I worked at it really hard, I could do like just nothing but sound clips and not actually have to do anything as far as talking. What a way to start off. Something went terribly wrong. But today's episode is a kind of like a combination episode. It's an Easter episode, but it's also going to be about a couple of things that were big to kids maybe when I was younger, but not really big to them now. It's kind of faded away in the zeitgeist. Today's episode will also have video. So you can pick up the audio at for Retro Cult, you know, wherever you normally listen to the podcast. iTunes, Spreaker, Anchor, but the video will probably go ahead and put up on the YouTube page, which is Retro Cult on YouTube, and I'll share that link out on Facebook and all that on the group so that you can get it that way, but it's not going to anything amazing, but everything I'm talking about today that I've actually got here in my hand, you're going to get to see. And I'm going to do a kind of like a pickup video maybe of stuff, because that's something me and my son used to do all the time, is this retro stuff we picked up. We would do videos for it. And he likes to do that as well. So I thought maybe I would integrate. You know, I'd put that in some of the podcast. So that's what I'm going to do today. That's how I'm going to start everything off. There's a couple things we picked up in the last week. It's a little bit from each of us. My son found a Kirby's Avalanche on Super Nintendo, complete in box. This was originally, it's a previously played sticker. I don't know where that was originally from. Super Nintendo Kids. I don't know. But I thought it was cool. It's complete in box. It's got the game, it's got everything. It's got the posters. It's got a ton of stuff in with it, all the inserts. He's big on complete inbox stuff. He's big on Kirby. I'm not a big Kirby fan, but he is, so he picked that up, and I thought that was pretty cool. I found a little something for my wife. New Kids on the Block book. $2.50 back in the day, and this is going to tie in really well to some of what I'm talking about today, but it's a book. It's got a bunch of pictures in it, and it's an unauthorized biography. Be the first kid on your block to know the real story of the new kids on the block. Those Boston boys with boundless energy for both onstage and offstage antics. The hottest facts and pictures of the Fabulous Five, who've really set the tone for the 1990s pop, are included to give you a personal look at this blockbuster group. It's made by Modern Publishing. Printed in the United States of America for $2.50 American, $3.25 in Canada back in the day. And this was published, what I'm assuming, early 90s. I don't know. I don't see a, copyright, 1989, Modern Publishing. Here's some of the contents. The right stuff, Donnie Wahlberg, Danny Wood, Joe Knight, yeah, whatever. My wife was big into him. I thought it was cool. This, purely for me, on DVD, Eddie Murphy stand-up, Eddie Murphy Delirious. Great. Eddie Murphy Raw and Eddie Murphy Delirious, both great. You just distinguish them by which leather suit he had on. Delirious' red leather suit. It's come from a place called Movie Gallery. It's a $9.99 pre-play. I thought that was pretty cool, and I picked that up. And then also, we lucked out and found New in the Box, the radical trivia game with all your favorite 80s moments, 80s Seen It, the DVD game. And we got that for everybody. Say everybody, it'd be hard. Like, my son could actually probably play and possibly win. My daughter has no interest in 80s stuff, obviously. You know, she's not from the 80s. But my wife and I would greatly enjoy it. So, like I said, this is going to be kind of like the Easter episode meets the Cards and Magazine episode. Just a quick little something. I'm going to lie to you, it's Easter weekend. We're going out of town. By the time you hear this, I'll be back. But we're going to be in Nashville with my daughter. So, you know, I just thought this two short segments, we're going to be short podcasting ourselves, throw them together and make something out of them. But, you know, really they kind of tie together, especially on the card end of things. But I mean, it's Easter, Charlie Brown. And I like, it never was my favorite, but Easter's, I mean, it's a really important holiday for a certain point of your childhood. And then that kind of just changes, you know. And I mean, how can you not love the Easter Beagle and Charlie Brown? Charlie Brown's a big thing for my son. And it's not something I got into a ton when I was younger, but it's something that's become a lot more prevalent as I've got older because it's such a big deal for him. Like, we have all, and I might do for the Mickey Mouse. I think I might be on my birthday and do a bunch of Charlie Brown specials we've got. So I'll throw Mickey Mouse up to go with this, something that, you know, be there every weekend, just depending on what. What's going on that weekend, but you know, it's almost Easter basket time, and there's some cool things I'd like to find in my Easter basket. Some Mario stuff, a punching monkey. I always like punching monkeys. Again, videos want to add quantity and quality to this. Some regular candy. That's what you think when you think Easter baskets, but I always wonder whether we've gotten our Easter baskets for longer, because like, for whatever reason, I remember talking about Christmas and Christmas presents with other kids, like, yeah, I got this for Christmas, or I got that, or maybe. But Easter was different. I didn't have that same like interaction level, I guess, or at least I don't remember it. I don't remember what other people got. Like, since then, and like, I know how my kids, you know, the Easter Bunny brought more to my kids, like, more like in the way of real gifts. That I don't. So this is hard to be played, and my son won't hear it. No, I won't say it. But like, you know, when I was younger, as much as I loved Easter and the Easter basket, like, it's not because there were these massive presents in Easter baskets by any stretch of the imagination. Like, to me, it felt almost more like, Easter presents were like a lot smaller type of present, but for whatever reason, still my favorite, like, or one of my favorite things to get. Like, I still looked forward to Easter mainly for one thing, basketball cards. I mean, I loved basketball cards, loved cards in general. And so that's kind of like what my Easter was. Like, I don't eat Peeps. What kind of person eats Peeps? You know, yeah, don't throw Peeps. That's awful. Like, I remember the candy to some degree, like the chocolate rabbit. Like, I always got a chocolate rabbit. I always ate the chocolate rabbit. Whatever. I'm so sorry. If you're watching the video, you see me on it. I mean, I've had no sleep. But like, whatever the candy of the day was, like, I wasn't looking forward to the candy. Like, that wasn't my thing. I liked candy bars, but like, I didn't go crazy with candy, so I wasn't a huge candy person. I liked candy, but Like that came more later to me. It's what came in those Easter baskets as far as toys went that I was excited about. And I'm going to give you top four Easter basket toys all time. Number four, some sort of Hot Wheel car or something in the vein of a Hot Wheel car. You know, it didn't have to be the brand, but a little car, always a great Easter basket find. Always something I got fairly excited about. Number three, I mean, hands down, parachute guy. The little soldier that's got a parachute hooked to him. Like, if I didn't like one and two so much, he would have been my number one, hands down. Parachute guy, you toss him up in the air. Like, I've got them for my son. Like, they still make them. He doesn't find a fascination in about it. But I was obsessed with military and playing Army when I was younger, so that was definitely huge on my list. Number two, and it was number one when I was very young, but it got replaced fairly quickly. Number two are the little green Army men. A pack of those in an Easter basket was the greatest thing you could get. Like, I loved it and thought it was so cool. Like, I would wear those out. But the number one, definitely, far and away, cards. Really, not just any cards, but I mean, like, any type of cards. Not just basketball cards. I preferred basketball cards because I liked basketball. But actually, I got a lot more baseball cards as a kid, and that was cool. Like, I didn't have a problem with that. I thought that was neat. But I did get a lot more of those as a kid than I did basketball cards. But loved basketball cards. Thought they were cool. Thought it was a great gift. Like, I loved to collect. You know, I would have all of these, just these sheets in the books full of cards. But that's the thing about, and it still happens today, but not as much. And we'll cover that in the second part of the show. But that is the thing that kind of is a little different from then to now, is how much those cards actually meant to kids. And I think, you know, obviously there's Pokemon cards and Magic cards, and I'm not privy to that experience, so I don't know. But, like, maybe that has as much meaning to kids now as those sports cards did to us. And not just sports cards. I mean, they made cards for everything back in the day, and I loved that. I never was a big egg hunter. Never really liked coloring the eggs and doing it. My kids didn't like it. My daughter hunted eggs a lot more than my son did. My son could have cared less. Like, he just don't care. Like, it's, you know, it's not something that he gets overly excited about, period, the holiday in general, as far as the commercial side of it. Like, he just doesn't really care. I mean, he wants the basket, obviously, but that could be somewhat on me. Like, I never made it a huge deal. Like, I guess I expend so much energy at Halloween and Christmas. It's like when Easter comes around, I'm like, I'm still in recovery from Christmas, you know, and I think he kind of feels that way too. He's a little bit overwhelmed by it, and he's like, oh, you know, this is fun and all, but we just finished Christmas. I remember, and I don't know how many of you guys do, and I might get some emails on this and some comments. I remember, and they still make these, obviously, the pre-made baskets from Walmart. And my wife and I obviously have a different experience growing up. We had different experiences, and we reflect on things differently, and our opinions are different on things, because to me, growing up, I don't remember getting those. If you think about it, like, in a lot of ways, like, what's the first thing that leaves belief-wise? It's usually Easter, like, you know, as far as, you know, because I don't know who listens to this with their kids, but you know what I mean. Like, what do you stop with first? And a lot of time, it's the bunny, you know. So it's a shorter run, I guess. Sometimes it's about the same run, because some people stop early with all of them. But it's a little less quantity over the years, you know, because, like, for some people, like, my daughter's 24. Easter's never stopped for her. She's always got Easter basket on Easter. She got one this year. At least that's the word on the street. Word on the street is when we go to Nashville, the bunny's following us down and bringing, you know, I don't know. But for a lot of people, it cuts out. Like, I don't remember Easter after a fairly young age. And, you know, like I said, I guess if I was going to round off that top four and make it a top five, which I should have done anyway, because this is ridiculous. What kind of animal only does a top four? Top five, I'd have to throw cat. Definitely a cat in there on that. And there's a lot of other small things that I got for Easter that I really liked. Like I like the small stuff. I always did. But those pre-made baskets, my wife always thought was kind of generic and like really expensive to be so cheap, like as in quality. And so I got one of those one time. I thought it was one of the coolest things I'd ever gotten. And it was a sports related one. It had like a couple of sports balls, probably like a basketball net, but I do remember it had cards, and that's what I was excited about, and a book to keep your cards in. And that's what I was excited about. So Easter to me basically breaks down to nothing but cards. You know, like that's what I got out of it. You know, like my son, you know, he may get video games and stuff now, get a game and some stuff for Easter. Like there's been years as she got older and he was still young, my daughter's had to get money, because what do you do to a certain point? To I think Pioneer Woman's bringing her a pot and pan this year. This will air before, or Easter will happen before this airs, and I got the inside track on what the bunny does. But Easter is, it was always a fun holiday for me growing up. I always enjoyed it. And I'd like for you guys to send me your messages. You know, what was that thing you looked most forward to every year in the Easter basket? And what was the candy? Like for me, the candy I looked most forward to for whatever reason when I was younger, like sometimes I get Rolos, and I really liked Rolos when I was younger. I still like them, just not like, I'm not a big candy person. And I really looked forward to those toys, those small toys. Like I thought that was fun. And more than anything, I looked forward to the cards. And like, what was it that was your thing when Easter come around? This is what you wanted. This is what you were excited about, you know. And how does Easter rank in the holidays for you? I mean, for me, there's the big three. There's Halloween. There's Christmas at one, but barely behind it. Two is Halloween. Three is really just. It's Thanksgiving by default because it's between the two, and I know I got to get through it. But like, I do enjoy the family time and like the time off. Like I like that aspect of it. I'm just not big on the foods that you eat at Thanksgiving. Obviously it's not. And much like Easter, it's a little lacking on the food. I mean, I'm sorry, on the movies. You basically got Dutch and Planes, Trains and Automobiles and, you know, Charlie Brown. Like there's not a ton there. And I like movies that will relate to my holiday. I know there's some Easter movies out there. I never had a whole lot of interest in it growing up. But what are those things? Like, what is a movie or a TV show, even if it's just a regular episode of a show or a year that makes you think, well, this, when I think Easter, this is kind of what pops in my head. Because like when I think Easter, I think there was just one Easter. We went not far up the road from where I live, and there was no barn, and we knew the people that owned that. There was a pond out there and stuff. Like, we ran and hid eggs and played in that field, and I don't even know if we feel like, I don't remember everything about that day, but I remember that Easter more than I remember probably any Easter as far as the Easter as a whole. The Easter that I got three cards that I really needed to complete a Chicago Bulls set. That was my biggest, like I literally got three random packs of cards. And I mean, this is so long ago. I think I needed a Bill Cartwright, and that's a maybe, like I'm not 100% sure. Some dude I couldn't name now, even if I looked at the card, and maybe a, like, it wasn't big players. It wasn't the Jordan from that year. Like, it, you know, maybe the coach before Phil Jackson. I can't remember. But that's all I needed to get that set and finish. Like, that was, I think of that, and like, I still get excited about opening that up and seeing that, you know. Like, because I do that sometimes with cards. Like, I remember the Bulls won a championship. Joe Buschler was on the team but I don't think he had a card made that year, but he had played for the Lakers or the Spurs or somebody the year before. So his card for that year was in that uniform and getting it and being excited, because I was a completionist when it come to the Bulls. Like, I had to, but I don't know. It's a fun thing to do, to look back on all this. So send me your messages. Let me know, what was it Easter wise that you thought was a big deal? And we're going to take a little bit of a commercial break, and then we're going to come back and we're going to talk about some collectibles.
After these messages, we'll be right back. After these messages, we'll be right back.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
A lot of these ads, like I said, these are not paid for ads. These are ads of companies that I promote because they're local companies and companies that I enjoy and I like to deal with. And the first one I'm going to talk about is the Red Spotted Newt, Hazard, Kentucky. Easter's coming up. Nothing makes a better Easter gift than a book. And you're going to hear this on Easter, and it's going to be too late. But I'll tell you what, it's never too late for the gift of reading. It's never too late for the gift of reading. I mean, and never at any point. At any point in time in life, books and punching monkeys are a definite win. And if you want to, look up the Red Spotted Newt, R-E-A-D, Red Spotted Newt, Hazard, Kentucky. You can order online. You can find them on Facebook, Instagram. You can go check them out. They're on Main Street in Hazard. Or it's not Main Street. I don't know what that little street is. But you can look them up. I mean, you got a cell phone. It's not 1985. It's not like you have to get out a phone book, go to the Yellow Pages, look them up, call them, handwrite directions, and get there. And then if you live three states away, you can't contact them. No, it's 2022. Yeah, you got a phone. Get a hold of these people. Kicking Chicken Apparel. You can find them on Facebook and on Instagram. I bet this guy will ship worldwide. I know three things about him for sure. He's a veteran. So it's a veteran-owned business. It is a local business because it's close to my house, and that's local to me. And the T-shirt quality is excellent, and that's what matters. I don't care what you have put on the T-shirt. If the T-shirt's uncomfortable and nobody wants to wear it, then what was the point in getting the T-shirt? The Retro Cult T-shirt and the Talk Junkie T-shirt will be made by Kickin' Chicken, and they will be of the highest quality. The problem is my ads may work just too well. I don't know. I doubt it. I really doubt it's me. But he's extremely busy. And so if you've got something you need a lot of shirts for, you need to contact him now, because it's not because nobody else is doing this that he's so busy. A lot of people are doing it. It's because of the quality of the work that he's doing. That's why it's so busy. And oh my God, something popped up on my screen and I don't know what's going on. Actually, I do know exactly what's going on. I just finished recording something else, but Kickin' Chicken Apparel, you definitely want to check that out. Again, if you're listening to this and going, what's he talking about on the screen? There will be a video segment to this. You can go to the Facebook page and watch it. You can go to YouTube page and watch it. You know, it is what it is. Also, I'd like to mention a place called Monkey Punches. It's in Hazard, Kentucky. I don't think they sell online. So if you're not local, probably not going to help you out. But you can message them. They might. That's where Kirby's Avalanche Complete and Box came from, was from Monkey Punches. A great just video game store. He's got some retro stuff. He's got some retro cards. We always get a couple packs of those when we go in. He's got cool just collectible random Mario stuff. He's got cool games and stuff. Excellent place. Excellent store. You need to check him out. That's Monkey Punch in Hazard, Kentucky. I just wanted to mention them. Like, you know, these people don't know that I mentioned. I don't even know if, like, I know Kickin' Chicken knows and Red Spotted Newt knows. But, you know, again, I'm not getting paid for this. I'm doing this because, like, especially if you're local, one, but even with those first two companies, you don't have to be local. Like, it's, you're helping small individual companies. They're great people, great stores, and I really, and we've talked about music a lot here lately, between both shows, between Talk Junkie and Retro Cult. Check out Roundabout Music in Whitesburg, Kentucky. You can order from them online. I'm sure they'll ship to you. Excellent people, amazing artists, and her and her husband have an amazing store there in Roundabout Music. So check that out. You know, I don't know. Let's just get back to the show here and talk some retro. We are back. We've covered Easter. I want to cover two things now that were very near and dear to my heart as a kid, and I think to a lot of people. Like, I've had this conversation with other people, like, you know, kids today don't experience this, and maybe they do to a certain degree. I don't know, because like I said, I'd mentioned earlier Magic the Gathering cards and Pokemon and all these. Maybe that is kind of like, maybe that's kept that industry going. But two things when I was young that were very important: magazines and cards, period. I mean, this was, you know, the heart of what I did with most of my days. I'm going to talk about cards first, because magazines are a little more in-depth, maybe, conversation to me. But I mean, they made cards for everything. And if you're watching on the video end of this, I'm going to show a couple of these, because like, I don't know how many people really, especially if you're younger, because I have found that there's, of the three people listening, I think one of you is younger. I don't know. There's one person I know listens that's younger. There's probably closer to five people listening, but that's beside the point. We'll get up there. We'll get to talk junkie numbers eventually. If I can keep getting the Spooky family on enough and milking their talent and bringing it in, then it's possible that I can be as popular on this channel as I am on Talk Junkie. And that's something I haven't mentioned yet. Go check out, I'm going to do an ad for all those people later, but definitely check out Spooky Family. Excellent people. Excellent people. Okay. So it's, 1992. You pull out your Shaquille O'Neal rookie card. Here's a Karl Malone, not from 92, I don't believe, a Karl Malone NBA Hoops, a Radical Recruits, Allen Iverson, straight out of Georgetown. That's pretty common. That and baseball cards, you know, you find those things, and that's something that kids from the 50s, 60s, 70s, you know, baseball mainly, but then eventually become football and basketball. Football is the only sport I never really collected a lot of cards for. I did collect some, but never a ton, because I don't know a lot about sport. But once you got out of the sport collectible, which was a huge market and a big deal, like the sports collectible was an awesome thing, but then you got more into that kind of that weird element of collecting cards that I really enjoyed just as much. Obviously, Garbage Pail Kids. Huge. And so many ripoffs of Garbage Pail Kids. Like, we have the Rad Dudes. Yes, I do still have card books and collect cards, and me and my son do. We had the Rad Dudes with Tease and Toby. I think Mandy Fugit Scheffel actually came up for the name and everything on that card. I think she's credited for that. No, of course you're not. That's a completely, totally inside joke that Lord, something's in my throat. Can't breathe. That's completely and totally inside joke. Nobody else get. We got Cram and Clint, Poser Pete, Kneeboard Nick, the Bicep Brothers. Checking out the Babes Brett, not really as good. The Cherry Bomb Dude's not that great. Dodgeball Doug, it's okay. But obviously an odd segment of pop culture, but represented in these cards. And there were so many cool, just weird little, like, gross cards. And because that was the thing with Garbage Pail Kids, like, they were gross. Like, you wanted, it's like something you shouldn't do, not something you shouldn't do in the way, like, the movie that they made, which I love and I know everybody else hates, but it is a horrible movie. There's no granted that. I'm not denying that, not even for a second. It's horrible, but I like it. I like horrible movies. But there was that kind of, you shouldn't say this, shouldn't do this element to those cards, and that was fun for people. And you got into normal pop culture things, like, this is big, and my son loves these, and we still collect these, and when we can find them, they're these Looney Tunes cards, and I mean, they're baseball cards. They're made by Upper Deck. They're made really well. They're cool. They're somewhat two-sided. I really like them. And my son loves them. And we got into those. Then you get into where I can really nerd out and stuff that I'm going to try to move this mic, make as little noise as possible as I twist it up towards my mouth. If you're watching on the video, you can see the process. Smooth. Did anybody hear anything? I mean, all that without a beat or a bang or anything of that nature. And, oh, God, I've just dropped everything. Total failure, but that's okay. That's okay. I've got everything now. But what I'm about to show you, if you've got the video, and what I'm about to tell you about if you're only listening to audio, is probably one of my favorite things that Topps and these companies were smart enough to do. And that is capitalize on all things pop culture, including movies. And in that instance, you get things like the Ghostbusters cards from Ghostbusters 1 and 2. I don't have any of the ones, but I do have the twos. Bill Murray as Veidman. I mean, it's just like a baseball card on the back. This still had the gum in it. We just opened this the other day, and the gum was attached to this. I did not chew it, but if I get another pack that's got gum in it, I'll chew it on air for you. You also got to come up with Ninja Turtle. And this was like, it had movie stickers on top of it because we got a couple of those actual things from the scenes, like scenes from the movie. And each card, you know, like this one's Dejected Heroes, and it's got the turtles there, and they're all bummed out. And on the back, it's got With Nowhere Else to Go, the turtles return to April's apartment for some moral support. Next morning, Charles, with Danny in tow, also pays a call. Our heroes immediately hide, but young Danny catches a glimpse of Michelangelo in a bathroom mirror. And then this is continued on card number 63, April on the Air. And I think that's cool. It's a cool time with the movie. But as a kid, I was mostly a sports card person. I had some of these, like, Garbage Pail Kids. Everybody had some Garbage Pail Kids. They're just too cool to not have. But, like, some of the movie ones and things like that kind of I missed out on a little bit because I didn't see them as often. And that is something that now, as an older person, like, as an adult, come on, I'm almost 40. That hurts to say. But as an older person, like, I get more into finding these old movie cards. Love them. And seems like just the cartoons did this to some degree too, you know, G.I. Joe and whatnot. Like, I got into that. But I still do try to pick up a sports card here and there, even though all of ours were stolen a couple years ago. Like, we've started over. I had that put back for my son, and now we've kind of started over, and we're trying to build back our card collection. This is something I found much later in life, but I love, and I have picked up numerous packs of them. You've probably seen me on the TikTok opening them. That is the Saturday Night Live cards, and I'm actually going to open a pack live on the podcast. I'm going to open a pack, and we're gonna get excited about this, and this is a big, huge thing. It's a major event here on the podcast. If you guys in the studio, give us a little music while we get started unwrapping this package of Saturday Night Live cards. We did it. As a kid, would I have been into these? Probably not. Like, as a young kid. As a teenager, yes. Yes, I definitely would have. And these came out in 92, I believe it was. Maybe not by that point, but you get me 93, 94, I would have been into these. Let's see what we came out with. Come out with the Coneheads. And, you know, it gives you a little information. It's three members of the family on the front, gives you a little information on the back. Home Planet is Rebulon, Eldar's Earth, name Fred Conehead, name Joyce Conehead. It's just a, you know, fun little thing. One of my, I prefer, we're getting ready to do a full Saturday Night Live podcast with two very good guests. I'm going to go ahead and tell you one will be Mandy Scheffel from the Red Spotted Note. She will definitely be one. We have a friend named Courtney. I'm really hoping to be the second guest. I think that's going to be, and I may just full roundtable it if I can't get Courtney, because Courtney is the excitement and presence of two or three people. It would take me and Mandy both to control her. But if I can't get her, we may go another route. I don't know. But that's the hope. Mandy's working on that end. So we will do a full SNL podcast at some point. Alien Space Woman. I don't remember this at all. No clue. I don't remember it. Horrible, horrible, horrible card. But Franken and Davis. I was an Al Franken fan. And again, I liked older Saturday Night Live. I think this was from 76. That was the premiere, the broadcast premiere. I'm big on the original Not Ready for Primetime Players. We come out with, this is so exciting for a podcast, even if you're doing the video. The Olympia Diner, so good, so good. You're talking Murray, Aykroyd, Belushi, cheeseburger, 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 cheeseburger. You know, I don't know how you beat that. This one, very awesome. Dylan and Petty, I like it. This was from 91, a great skit. We ended up with a Sally Jesse Raphael, a Gerald Ford. This will be right up there with my favorite collectibles. I may hang this with my Caddyshack. Chevy Chase, Presidential Address, opening show is Gerald Ford, Victoria Jackson, Compulsion by Calvin Klein, and one of the best all-time products ever advertised on Saturday Night Live, the Bass-O-Matic. Bass-O-Matic is awesome. Let's see if I can... Yes, fish eaters, the days of troublesome scaling, cutting, and gutting are over because Super Bass-O-Matic 76 is that tool that lets you use the whole bass with no fish waste. Here's how it works. Catch a bass, remove the hook, and drop the bass. That's the whole bass into the Super Bass-O-Matic 76. Now adjust the control dial so that the bass is blended just the way you like it. We've got fish here, fast and easy and ready to pour. It's simple, clean, and simple, it's clean, simple, and after 5 or 10 fish, it gets to be quite a rush. Super Bass-O-Matic 76, you'll never have to scale, cut, or gut again. If you're not an Aykroyd fan, you're not original, not ready for primetime players fan, and you don't like the old school, you probably won't remember that, but that's like first season of Saturday Night Live. I thought it'd be cool. Open that pack of cards. Cards were such a big thing. To kids, especially when I was growing up, especially to me, I loved cards. It was a status thing to a certain degree for some people. Like, oh yeah, I've got that Shaq rookie, or I've got that Jordan. I never knew anybody actually had a Jordan rookie, like not a real Jordan rookie. It's weird how that worked out, but like, I loved it. It was fun and it made me feel involved. I would also like to say, if you're watching the video version of this, I am in the black Bulls 23 Jordan jersey, just for mug. So that's for you if you want to go back and watch the video version of it. I love you, and I wore that just for you because I know huge Jordan fan. You know, I thought I was a big Bulls fan, a big Mandy, who had been on Talk Junkie a couple times with me, like I said, owns Red Spotted Note, huge Jordan fan. Neither us combined don't equal a mug. Mug is a massive, massive Jordan fan. Jordan socks, Jordan underwear, Jordan jerseys, shirts. I mean, still as an adult, buys new Wheaties and pours them into old boxes that had Jordan on the cover. Buys 2K 2022, goes in, creates whole teams of just Jordan from different eras. 45 Jordan, rookie year Jordan with a little bit of hair, Wizards Jordan. I mean, a massive fan. So I did that just for him. you know, him and one other person. There's a guy named a little boy named Bobby Ray Stevens. If you listen to Retro, or if you listen to Talk Junkie, or if you listen to Here to Chew Bubblegum or anything, you know about a gentleman named Bolin Cox and a young man that's with him and his group. His family has a pretty severe medical condition. Huge Michael Jordan fan. Could never play sports. He could play, like, it didn't affect his playing. He just didn't want to shower in front of other kids, and that's, you know, because of lack of a body. And then it's a horrible thing, but that's for little Bobby Joe Ray Stevens, Billy Back Jack, whatever his name was. I can't remember now at this point. But cards were a big deal, and cards were currency. It's just like cigarettes in prison. You had good cards at school. Like, you could trade for some good stuff. I was a quantity over quality guy. I've always been that way. I just had a massive compulsion, and like, that's where your free money went. Like my first stepdad, remember, we numbered them here. My first stepdad, when I first met his brother, dude, they called Bear. Like, we were pretty bad kids, pretty rough to deal with. Like, people didn't like to have us around. Well, Bear was super nice to us. And I remember, like, the first time ever really hanging out with him there around where they lived, because they were from, you know, 30, 40 minutes away from where we lived. And we were there. And it was a guy set up, this little set up on the corner street down there, and sold basketball cards. And Bear would take us down, about, you know, buy us $2 or $3 worth of basketball cards, which was a lot back then, because, like, you could get a lot for $2 or $3. And that was cool. Like, I'll never forget that memory. Like, it meant a lot to me to get those cards. And I don't know, like, cards always will hold that special value and that special place in my heart because of that. Like, I still, when we go to the flea markets and the swap meet stuff and the indoor vendors malls and stuff, I still stop and look at the cards. If they're cheap, I buy them, regardless of who and what they are. If they're the weird cards, like the Saturday Night Lives or the Looney Tunes or the Ghostbusters or the Ninja Turtles, I always buy those because they pique my interest and they pique my son's interest, and I think they're really cool. I don't know, but those SNL cards are my new favorite right now, and I really enjoy those. We're going to take another quick break, and we'll be right back to talk about magazines. If you're watching this on the video, it's kind of like the Oscars. Like, I've had like three different costume changes. This time I just changed the hat to my favorite hat, my paranormal trucker hat. I want to talk to you guys about podcasts. And, you know, it's a serious conversation. They can be addictive. They can tear families apart. Before you know it, you're just listening to one podcast. And, you know, it's not a big deal. It's just one. Just before work in the morning, I'll listen to a little bit of one, you know, maybe at lunch. Maybe at lunch, I'll listen to another podcast. Maybe in the evening. Maybe on my way home from work. Just, you know, I'm just going to pop on a podcast. What else am I going to do? Who's it hurting? What else am I going to do? Okay, I'm home. You know, maybe I'll sneak my wireless earbuds in. Maybe just one offside of my wife where she can't see it. And while we eat dinner, I'll listen to a little bit of a podcast. But after that, if everybody else is going to watch TV, I could just listen to a podcast, you know. And some of my podcasts are on YouTube. And, you know, I could just pull up YouTube on my Fire Stick and listen to a podcast. And then, you know, my whole family's in bed by 10. Who needs 8 hours of sleep, really? Once they go to bed, maybe I can stay up and listen to a little bit of a podcast. And before you know it, you're on a corner somewhere doing God knows what just to get another podcast, just to listen to one more episode. Is that where you really want to be in life? Is that what you want to do with your life? Well, it is for me, and I love podcasts. I listen to them all the time, and 4 out of 5 doctors agree that podcasts, although somewhat entertaining. They're not addictive. They won't hurt you. Actually, 3 out of 7 dentists recommend them, and 2 out of 4 proctologists have heard of them. So you should listen to podcasts, and I'm going to tell you the podcast you should listen to. You probably shouldn't listen to this podcast, but if you do, I thank you. And I would prefer that not only do you listen to this podcast, you also listen to my other podcast, Talk Junkie. But if you want good podcasts, okay, fair enough. I'll give you some good ones. Listen to the Spooky Family Podcast. Why do you think I have them on all the time? They're amazing. They've got a great podcast, excellent content, well done, well put together. They're super funny people. The last episode, I literally laughed. And this is not a comedy podcast. You know, like they, sometimes it's serious, sometimes it's fun. Like they can mix it up really well. That last podcast was super enjoyable and super informative. If you know anything about the story, it's basically very heavily involved in with the Catholic religion, but Fatima and her prophecies. Like it's just a cool episode on that, but it was absolutely totally hilarious, and I laughed from the beginning to end. I mean, I learned stuff, and like it was a good podcast, but just they have a way of being so relatable and so fun. And if you've not checked out Here to Chew Bubblegum, they're on a temporary break right now because they got something really big going on for them as far as their future goes, and so they're doing these best ofs right now. And the best of Justin Perkins one was horrible. I really didn't like it. I don't why people have this guy on. I don't know. He's a douche, and I just don't particularly care for him. But the others have been great. I mean, they've really been great. And like you get to hear so much from the show from way back when, and it's really a great experience. And if you want to talk about the best trucker caps in the game, you want to talk about one of the sweetest, sexiest voices to ever be recorded. You want to talk about a piece of man meat that, oh God, paranormal trucker, PT himself, Bart. Check out the Paranormal Trucker podcast. Right now, it's currently only on YouTube. Send him messages. Tell him we want it on iTunes so we can listen as we drive. But it's a great podcast. He's joined by Large Marge and the Snowman. It's such a fun, good podcast. Such good people. So relatable. And if Bart's laugh doesn't infect you in some way, if it's not the most infectious laugh you've ever heard, you're not living. You're not a good person. You're a horrible human being. Check out Seth's Daily Podcast. Seth's everywhere. I can't even begin to tell you where he's at and what he's doing and which show he's on. Dude's everywhere. Google box it. Check out Seth's Daily Podcast. I think maybe right now it's only on YouTube still too, unless he started reposting back up to iTunes and stuff like that. But I mean, there's so many great podcasts out there. And you hear us, you hear myself and other podcasters talk about Brad, who's passed away. Go back and check out Raven Television Addict and check those out. It's a great podcast to go back and listen to. I always forget somebody. I always leave somebody out. I can't help it. We've lost Eli. He has moved and is no longer doing the show that he was doing. I'm hoping that he returns to some form or capacity as a podcaster. And we, you know, even though he's not with the radio station anymore and he's living in a different state, would love to get that back. I don't write this stuff down. I'm not really good at it. And so I'm probably forgetting somebody. But if I am, I'm extremely sorry. I didn't mean to, really didn't. Let's get back to the show. I got so caught up in the sacks, I didn't unmute my mic. We've talked about cards, we've talked about Easter, but I'm going to end this on something that eventually I'm going to bring back for a full podcast with a large group of people to discuss it. If you need to know something right now, if you need to know something about music, you need to know something about wrestling if you live in the North, or wrestling if you live where I live in the South, Well, you need to know something about sports or the value of a sporting card, or let me give you the answer to that. It has none. Or, you know, you're looking for the newest video games that are getting ready to come out. All of these things can be found in one place. Google. On your phone, you just look it up. Where's the fun in that? I'll tell you the better way to do it. Magazines. I mean, from the September 1996 edition of WWF magazine, when Sonny Once So True, I Slapped You, right on the cover. Or how about this? Let's go to the 1997 Wrestling Annual from Pro Wrestling Illustrated. 32 astonishing full-color pinups. I wonder if those are still there. They are, ha, Dreamer and McGillicuddy, Steiner and Luger, Flyer and Sting. That's going up out here in the building. I didn't know that was in there. A little bit of Six, Rick Steiner versus Chris Benoit, Juventud Guerrero, Steven Regal, Dean Malenko, The Giant, Savio Vega versus Goldust, Shawn Michaels, DDP versus Eddie Guerrero. Wow, New Jack's even in here. I hate that. But like, if you wanted to know, and I probably started in this late 80s, early 90s. If you wanted to know what was happening in wrestling, you had two options back in the day. You could watch the weekly show, which a lot of times, in a lot of cases, especially with the WWF at the time, really big for Crockett, because NWA was so still separate that the WCW got, which was pretty well Crockett, was separate from other divisions of the NWA still until they became WCW and just completely broke off. But you had to watch the local show, and that show was tailored to people in your area. And really, you were behind a full cycle. Sometimes more. It depended on the storyline, the show, and what was going on. Like, you know, I remember, and I don't remember where I seen it, probably rented it from a video store. May have traded for it, tape trading. We'll talk about that in a minute. But I remember Broadway match, Flair, Rhodes, our match. This was an older match that had happened, or at least to my memory, because it's been a long time ago. And I see some pictures from the match and this and that. I go back and look through some old magazines and realize they hit some of the same spots in these other matches, and it was Flair, Rhodes. It was an hour match, time limit, same outcome, different city. It took a while for everybody. Like, they were having this match everywhere. You know, before internet, they could. You had a good match. You worked everything out. That's why these matches were so flawless. A lot of times, by the time you got them on pay-per-view or you got to see them, they'd had that same match 40 times, you know what I mean, in 40 different cities before you got to see it. Or maybe you seen it towards the beginning of that, you know, and it was better afterwards, after which I'm sure a Rhodes Flyer match was good at any point in that. But it was then I was like, this magazine will give me information I'm not going to get other places, things that I'm not going to get to see, obviously, you know, without the magazine. So it became an obsession to me. My grandfather would take me to IGA. That's like a local grocery store. They had a magazine section, which they obviously no longer had. They also had an open-air candy section. And that was like all these different types of candies, and you got them and put them in a bag. I believe they were Brock's. Then you brought them home, and, you know, they had this, like, is it a caramel Tootsie Roll or coffee? I don't know. But I ate a lot of it without paying for it, and just because I really didn't realize it was that bad. And my grandfather's a stickler for a deal. It loves a deal. So he didn't really point it out. But I'd always get a small bag of candy. Fairly cheap, actually. But then I'd go back and look at the prices on these magazines. Because like I said, this one is from 96. I was just probably at the end of buying magazines in 96. This was $3.50 US. And in 97, this magazine was $5.95 US, which it was a special edition magazine. But still, like, you look at inflation, that was a lot. You know, it was a lot of money. And obviously I didn't get one every week, and I missed out on a lot of stuff because of that. Because like, you really would have to go through all of these different wrestling magazines and different magazines to get them. But as I got older and realized, like, it wasn't always wrestling magazines, I would pick up other stuff. But the big draw to the wrestling magazine, and one advantage I had, was this thing called tape trading. I, living in Eastern Kentucky, got to see Smoky Mountain Wrestling. And it was on TV, and I could get a hold of it from time to time. And knew someone who obviously had a better hookup or a different feed in Tennessee and got videos. And so, like, when I would see them occasionally, I would get a video off them. They'd let me have it. And then I would videotape with a VCR through the TV episodes of Smoky Mountain Wrestling. Because really, I videotaped almost everything on TV, any movie, anything like that I wanted to see. Well, I got to noticing in the back of these magazines, these ads for looking for such and such match, looking for this, looking for that, have this. I hardly ever had anything anybody was looking for. And I realized that, okay, if I send my tape, they'll send me something I want. So I eventually figured out, like, with the help of my aunt, hey, how do I do this? Okay, you write this in. I have Smoky Mountain Wrestling from such and such date. Looking for Ric Flair matches. Looking for Road Warriors matches. You know, Sting matches, whatever. Because I was big into WCW. And it really was the easiest one to get, other than USA was basically the WWF channel. But I traded probably 4 or 5 tapes that way. Didn't get into it massively, but that was a cool thing to do. Like, I really liked that. And later on with music, even going in to the late 90s, you could look in Circus and Hit Parader and all these magazines and find out all this information about the bands you really loved and liked. But I found that some of the smaller publications and some of the, I don't know, I guess less mainstream publications, if you looked in the back, they kind of had the same deal. It's like, hey, we're a band from such and such, and if you'd like to check us out, blah, blah, blah. And like, I got free CDs occasionally, like in cassettes still at that time sometimes. Just, you know, writing a letter and be like, yeah, you know, here's $3 for shipping and handling. I'm into it. You know, there was times I didn't get the albums returned to me, so I'm assuming that those people probably just kept shipping money and didn't send out, you know, it was just a scam to get the money, and I just kept doing it like an idiot, you know. You win some, you lose some. I you know, you've gotta learn, you know, I learned the hard way. But tablature, to learn songs, especially like I was into nu metal, and not a lot of people knew those songs, and, you know, some of it was 7-string, some of it was tabbed down for 6-string, but a lot of it was like Corn stuff was tabbed for 7-string, and, you know, you're scrounging every dime you can, trading everything you can in as a 16-year-old kid, trying to find a 7-string guitar or 5-string bass so that you can play these songs. And then you need the tab and the tuning, and you got that in these books. Now, all tab sucks nowadays, and you can look it up online, and you got to go through like 500 tabs to get a good tab, unless you want to pay for it. Nobody wants to pay for it. I'd pay for it in a magazine form. I still get Bass Player Magazine. I should have had one of them here with me. I don't. Actually, I just canceled it this year. It'll be the first year I've not got it. But they have some tab in there occasionally. But that was your source for learning new. Somebody, I mean, I can't learn by ear. I have to learn by tab, and I suck even learning by tab. But that was a big thing for me, you know. And so I used that tab out of those magazines to learn those songs. And so those magazines were very big to me, very important to me, and they meant a lot to me. And, you know, growing up, Black Belt Magazine, anything, Marshall, or catalogs, my God, catalogs. You know, Century Martial Arts catalog, the Sears catalog for Christmas. I just barely touched on these two topics today for a reason. They remind me a lot of Easter. And just to be honest with you, I didn't have a long episode for Easter. And I was thinking, man, if I can get 30 minutes out of this, great. We're looking at an hour and something right now, but or close to an hour. I was like, you know, if I can get anything out of it, it'll be great. The cards, I probably won't come back and do another separate episode on. Like, kind of are what they are. But the magazines are something that I wanted to do this episode and then have the ability to reach out to people and ask their opinion so that when I get a couple guests and come back and really do the magazines, we got something to talk about. And I'm talking publications in general, from the Wish Book to, you know, TV Guide to wrestling magazines, whatever it is. What are the periodicals and those types of things from your youth that meant the most to you or most impactful to you? And like, what are those things that you remember the most? Like for me, it's definitely music magazines, wrestling magazines, and probably Century Martial Arts Catalog. Like I told you guys, I said I wanted to be a ninja. I seriously wanted to be a ninja. I'd be Judy and shit all over the place. I don't care. I was a ninja kid. It's not very, you know, it's not very lucrative. There's not a lot of market for ninja out there. If I could do it, I would do it. You know, the only thing stopping me from buying a costume and a straight up ninja is the job market. It's slow, you know, and I guess that's a product of being from the 80s. You know, I just assumed that the market would never drop off like it did, you know. Where is Michael Dudikoff now? You know, is he okay? You know, is somebody checking on the American Ninja? Like, I need to know these things. But send me all your fondest memories of magazines, pictures of magazines, quotes from, you know, anything involving those magazines, catalogs, anything. And we'll sit down with some guests and some learned individuals, and we will go over a real in-depth dive on magazines. I hope everyone has a wonderful, wonderful Easter. And I hope that everyone has a safe Easter. And I hope you enjoy this show. And if you do, please share it. That would help tremendously. And, you know, like it, subscribe to it, share it, tell people about it, and email us anything you have to say, especially about the magazine thing and the publication thing we got going. Send that to retrocultpodcast@gmail.com. I know it's really long and I'm thinking about changing it because it's not like I'm going to lose any emails because you guys ain't sending them right now anyway. But check out the other podcast, Talk Junkie. Seems to be the one everybody's enjoying the most right now. But you guys have no idea how fun it is to make this one. Especially sit down and do a video version again. Like, that's super fun. Don't suck, don't die, and be good to people.
When this baby hits 88 miles per hour, you're going to see some serious shit.
Be afraid. Be very afraid.